Hello, listening audience, and welcome to the Sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ podcast, where we will explore the timeless truths of scriptures. Today, we are kicking off with a discussion on the topic, I have been transformed, based on Titus chapter 3. My sister in Christ, Lisa Bastian, and I, Pamela Ferguson, will discuss this powerful passage from Paul's letter, which speaks to the heart of Christian living and emphasizes how we as Christians ought to live in society. We'll explore themes like submission to authority, the importance of good works, and the transformative power of God's grace. Titus chapter 3 reminds us that salvation is not something we earn through our actions, but a gift of mercy from God, leading us to a life of humility, kindness, and purposeful living. So join us. Get a cup of coffee, tea, water, whatever your favorite drink, as we unpack these rich teachings and discuss their relevance for our lives today. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Pamela. It's wonderful to be here with you.
I'm so excited, Lisa.
So am I.
Yeah. So I came across Titus chapter 3 this summer. Mm-hmm. I was traveling to Turkey, a 13-hour flight, and the flight was a bit bumpy. Mm-hmm. So I say 4 hours, non-consistently, but my husband says an hour. And so I decided to do a devotional. And I didn't want to do a planned devotional. So yeah. I, you know, was flicking through the chapters on my iPad, and I came across Titus, and I was like, I've never read Titus before. Uh-huh. And, okay, 3 chapters. Let's go to chapter 3. And I started reading, and it just piqued my interest. You know, verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so practical to me. As a Christian,
yes,
we ought to speak evil of no one. I know.
No one.
No one, right?
No one.
To avoid quarreling. Like, oh, you can do that. Like, because there are times when you need to quarrel. Mm-hmm. To be gentle.
Wow.
And to show perfect courtesy to all people. And I'm like, okay, this is devotional. So mm-hmm. I got to reading the chapter and writing a devotional to go with this chapter. But when I read the first part of it, I heard about this passage of scripture of submitting to authority. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit concerning to me. Not because I don't want to submit, of course.
Right.
I believe in submitting to authority. But it just seemed to be a closed-end statement. Submit mm-hmm. to authority. What happens if the authority in place is not who you think should be there, is not living to the standard that you feel mm-hmm. that they should be living towards? So I was a bit concerned. But when I got into the chapter and cross-referenced with other verses, then I got a better understanding mm-hmm. of it. What do you think, Lisa, it means to be submissive to rulers and authorities as presented in Titus chapter 3.
I think I immediately started to think of the Bahamas mm-hmm. political mm-hmm. environment mm-hmm. where there's one side or the other. Mm-hmm. And for really, it's just two right. for the most part.
Right.
And I've heard so many heated arguments and I don't agree. I think this, I think that. And it's really easy to engage. I've heard, I've heard some very heated arguments. Mm-hmm. And so I think no matter what my belief is, whomever is in the governing party at mm-hmm. the time, who mm-hmm. is the leader of the country, that is where our submission should be. That's where I thought first. Mm-hmm. So you reference Romans. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here,
no,
but
go ahead.
You reference Romans mm-hmm. where it says that whomever is in authority, God has placed mm-hmm. that person in authority.
Mm-hmm.
In those times, it would have been a king.
Right.
And they didn't always do what we would consider to be good.
Right.
But they were the king in place. And I think it comes, the position is supposed to be respected.
Right.
Therefore, the laws that are in place, we as a citizen submit to, and
right.
even more so as believers, as Christians.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
And you would think that as Christians,
mm-hmm.
this wouldn't have to be said to us, but we ought to be law-abiding,
citizens, yes.
And what I like about this scripture is, you know, the scripture saying the reason, there's a reason why we ought to be
mm-hmm.
for a peaceful an yes. orderly society.
Exactly.
And I think that is so important because you have beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You have one denomination. I am of a different denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say, well, why do you have to act in a certain way? I disagree with that. You may say you agree
right.
with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have chaos.
Yeah.
If we don't accept, I mean, God is, I mean, he's obviously wise, but it is so important, I feel, the scripture, because if we all as Christians mm-hmm. accept that God expects us
yes.
to obey the law
right.
according to the rules and the regulation laid out
exactly.
In society, if we do that, that will encourage an orderly and peaceful society. I think that
yeah.
is powerful.
I agree. And I think I like how it puts a personal responsibility
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
You, no matter what is going on or who's in power, your responsibility is, like you said, to not quarrel,
mm-hmm.
To be gentle,
yeah.
to have humility, true humility, it says. And true humility could always, I mean, I think of it, it's putting others before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So in a situation where I said those heated arguments happen,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you may have a position that you may just be quiet and listen, hear the other person out, and respect that, okay, that's their opinion.
Right.
And not want to just slam and push forward, I don't believe this or that. Hear them out.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, it says also to do good and speak evil of no one.
Yep.
I remember catching myself before when I didn't like who was the prime minister at the time and thinking negative things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I caught myself
mm-hmm.
and like I thought of mm-hmm. God as this person
yeah.
in this position at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I must come under their mm-hmm. authority, whether I like that person or not, whether I agree with everything they say. They are the prime minister mm-hmm. of the country. They are in authority over me. I must respect that position, mm-hmm. even if I may not like everything about the person. Mm-hmm.
I have a family member who used to be very involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And when their party didn't win,
mm-hmm.
they don't watch the news.
Oh, wow.
They don't look at the news. So what's going on in the country, they would not. They don't listen. They don't watch
mm-hmm.
it. No, because that was not their leader or the leader that they wanted.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the person loves the Lord, right? So I think this passage of scripture is so important for us today, that if we love the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and if we are following biblical principles, then it means that we ought to submit to the leader
yeah.
or the authority that God has placed
mm-hmm.
Over us. But then how do we balance, Lisa, submission to government with standing up for righteousness?
That's a good question. We think of Daniel, where it says he said, we must obey God rather than man.
Right.
And in that case, disobedience was done with humility and courage and a readiness to face whatever the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a situation today where I would have to take that drastic stand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could help me out here, but I haven't come
in
up
against
that.
In the Western world, no.
Right.
I can't see it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. we think of the story with the three, the Shadrach, Meshach, mm-hmm. and Abednego, when the king was telling them to give him the honor that would be given to God. And that was like a definite
right.
no, I
mm-hmm.
cannot abide by that
mm-hmm.
edict is what they call it then. But they were also prepared to face the consequences. Right. They said, God can save us, but if he doesn't save us, we are convinced this is the right thing to do.
I love the Lord
with all my heart, but I'm glad that we do have those type of laws over here because I don't know what I would do. Because I mean, I don't want to go to jail.
They had a fiery furnace in front of them, you know.
I don't want to. But I think one of the ways we can too balance this submission to government with standing up
for righteousness is to obey laws that align with God's will. Those laws that are out there that align, and like you mentioned, we don't have those laws that we are told that you cannot pray.
Right.
To God.
Yeah.
And so it should be easier for us to do that. And to also speak truth in love.
Yes.
Yes, we are called to stand up for righteousness. And there may be laws that are being introduced that we don't agree with. I remember the gaming referendum. I didn't agree with it. Right. And I even went out one time, one Sunday. I was out there. But even in such cases, God has called us to, if we have to speak truth, it should be in love.
In love, in humility, in gentleness. Yes.
And with compassion. And not with hatred.
Right.
And violence.
Exactly.
And I think that's so important. Because sometimes, you know, we tend to get into situations that don't reflect God. And he's calling us to, like, yes, you can be against something that's going on, but we have to let our light shine and do it in love.
But can I bring up 1 Timothy 2? It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf. Pray this way for kings and for us. It would not be a king. It would be the governing authorities, the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, everyone in parliament, that those who are in authority, we must pray for them. And this would help us to be able to live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity, from the New Living Translation I was reading. So I think that's also another way to handle what we may not agree with the governing parties too, is to specifically pray to God for them to have wisdom, to have these compassion and gentleness, and for them to come up with the right laws.
I'll be honest with you. I try, and I catch myself when I do pray. But, you know, life happens. You know, you're praying for yourself, your family, you know. And I had a tenant who the other day told me that found out his wife had stage 4 cancer, if I could remember to pray for her. And I have prayed. And then a few months later, he was in the hospital with heart issues. So and I want to. I want to consistently pray for government. And I do sometimes, but I'll be honest, Lisa, I don't pray enough.
Right.
And I think that's important. We have to pray for government, because it goes back to a peaceful and orderly society. I think it was somewhere in Chronicles, and when the children of Israel were in captivity, and, you know, the prophet came back to them to tell them, pray for the peace of the city. Yeah, you may be in a situation that you don't like, and so you're mad. You don't want this city to prosper, or your party may not be in power, and you're mad.
Yeah.
But God is saying, pray for the peace of the city, because when the city have peace, you have peace.
Exactly. I think to break it down, get it on a more a practical level, I agree with that. And it's not always when we're reminded, we pray. But one way, we know that Parliament meets usually on a Wednesday, right? You can set aside your Wednesday as a day to specifically pray for the government. The government. Because that is a day that they are deliberating. So that's one way to do it. Set aside a special day. So I agree. You don't have to feel the guilt of, oh, I didn't remember to pray. But you know, when Wednesday come, this is the day I'm going to be praying for the governing party. And that's, you'll have weekly prayer going on. If you drive past the House of Parliament.
And you remember.
That's also a good thing. Every time you drive past it, say a quick prayer. It doesn't always have to be a sit down, long, just I remember to pray for these people who are in there making the decisions on my behalf, on the behalf of the country.
And I'm inspired because when you read and see the benefit of these prayers, you're asking God to give them wisdom.
Definitely.
To come up with ideas that will help all of us.
Yeah. Think of Esther.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How God used her.
He used her. Mm-hmm. But what she did, she didn't just go and make a decision. Mm-hmm. When they say it's you are in this position now to do something for your people.
Right.
She said, okay, I need your help.
Okay.
I need you to also fast and pray for a specific amount of days. Yeah. And they did that. Mm-hmm. So it was a collective prayer
two
effort.
Or three gather.
Yeah.
Touching anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she turned the heart of the king and saved her people.
Yep.
These are not fictional stories. These actually happen. Mm-hmm. And they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm.
And I think
it's the same God.
I agree. And another way where we can balance this out with submission to authority and still living according to the principles of God is for those who desire to engage in the process. Engage in the process. If this is where you think God, and I say, make sure God calling you there.
Yes.
Because you may have a passion for it, and then you get in there, and then you find yourself not adhering to the principles of God, and you may get sidetracked because this is harder than I thought. But for those who feel that God is calling them, I say, go in and help influence.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason why us who are not in there
need to pray.
Continue to pray for them. Yes, exactly. So they could stay on track.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Throughout Titus, it talked about good works.
Yes.
Good works. You know, one popular passages of scriptures, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how important is good works in the life of a Christian?
Good works.
Good works.
as air is important to breathe, good works is a part of who we are, and it should come out of the abundance of love God pours into us is the abundance pour out to others. Mm-hmm. I think it's a vital importance.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's a way in which we express our love for God, those good works.
Yeah. You know what? I go back to you started out saying how it convicted you to be gentle.
Yeah.
To don't quarrel, to have true humility. Mm-hmm. I think that comes, we're tested on throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You could just be in the checkout line at the food store and somebody does something really like ridiculous and or, you know, maybe somebody cut in front of you like, oh, I only have one item, come on, and they're just pushy. And at that instant, you also have a decision to handle it with gentleness, push and say no. You always have a right to say no. But I mean, it's also a test to humility. You back down, be kind. Okay, clearly you're in a rush. You go on ahead. I mean, that's just a small example. But I just think we have these instances throughout our daily interactions where we can choose. Mm-hmm. Do good, be humble, don't quarrel, be gentle.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple of weeks ago, my mom and I, we were out and I stopped by a place to get us some lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was behind a young lady and she went to cash up for her meal, but her card didn't work. And I said to myself right there, I wanted to tell her I could handle it. But you know, sometimes people feel embarrassed by that. And then she opened her wallet and she didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, I said, I can do it. No one knew because we were close to each other. I said, I can do it. She said, no, she said she just got the card and she's going to call, but she couldn't reach.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lady, the cashier was looking at me, okay, let me take your stuff. And I knew her card wasn't working.
Right.
She didn't have any money. So I said, I can do it. And she said, okay. And I paid for it for her. And I felt good.
That was very,
I felt good. I mean, that was something that I felt good doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a little uneasy. If I'm in line and you went to cash something and you don't have it, I would love that somebody behind me would say, let me handle that.
Right. Oh, but she probably felt a little embarrassed.
Yes, I feel that. But then she still was appreciative.
Yes.
And walk out, no strings, no strings right. attached.
That's a good example. Good works.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's important because we talk about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how we ought to pray. And the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 17,
mm-hmm.
so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, mm-hmm. is dead.
Yeah.
See, I could pray and say, God, I want to be more healthy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God, bring down health and healing to me.
Uh-huh.
But if we just pray and don't get up and do some things that will aid us with that, then that faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's practical.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that is so important for us in this day and age.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a good example, though. You, mm-hmm. you had the opportunity, and you took that opportunity to...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pay for that lady.
And even as food. A Christian witness, right? You know, we say that we love the Lord and we want to express our love to Him by doing our good works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been robbery if I'd stood there and saw that she was in need and didn't help her. Help.
And you were able to.
And I was able to. And I thank God for that. So, Lisa, how can we better live out this reality of God transform grace in our daily lives? I mean, the topic is, I have been transformed. You know, I, in my younger years, was very feisty, if I may say so myself. My dad was like that. He, mm-hmm. he spoke his mind. Mm-hmm. Whatever he wanted to say, he said, and I learned that from him. And I remember I was in high school, and we were having a discussion at youth meeting, and I stood up and I gave my point, and then somebody countered my point, and I stood up to try to reinforce that point, mm-hmm. and somebody else countered. It was this back and forth, and our youth president said, that's enough, no more of that. And I remember sitting down and thinking, I didn't want to be like that.
Mm.
I remember said, it had to be the Spirit, Holy Spirit that convicted me. I don't want to feel like I must have the last say, or that I have to convince people
mm-hmm.
from where I stood.
Right.
And in that moment, you know, I asked God to help to change
uh-huh.
that personality. And it didn't happen overnight,
no.
not even months. But I saw where I had transformed,
right.
or He had been very instrumental in transforming me to the point where I don't need to be right all the time.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to have the final say.
That's a great
illustration. So how can we in our everyday, because that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say we accept Christ, but people ought to see. A lot of times we think we have to talk. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think we have to preach it. But how do we live that out in our day-to-day lives?
That's a good question. Every day comes with a new opportunity to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So start out your day. It's important to start out your day reading the Word, because it's a reminder of my surrender to God and to living the way of Christ. And the surrender is also, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it on my own. Just like you said, mm-hmm. as soon as you were convicted, you prayed, asked for help. So I think every day, for me, I think it's important to start every day reading from the Word of God, surrendering afresh,
mm-hmm.
because what's coming at you, you don't even know, but at least that prepares you.
I think for me, it is living with humility.
Mm-hmm.
And humility to me is not thinking less of myself,
mm-hmm.
but thinking less about myself. It's not always...
Oh, that's a nice way to put it.
Right?
Yes.
It's not about me. One of the books, I recently, when we were traveling, I like to purchase books
mm-hmm.
in the store and read them. I don't get to finish them. This is a small book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a one minute tips for confident communication.
Okay.
I am like a loner. I mean, I don't know. I'm just between an introvert and an extrovert, mm-hmm. right? I like alone time.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted a book to help me with my communication. If I walk into, when I'm with friends, with you and my friends, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. But if I walk into an audience
right.
where I don't know anybody, I remember yeah. a few years ago, I did a course at Harvard. It mm-hmm. was an executive course with our financial investment analyst team. And so I went there and so I said, okay, this is a day, this is a time that I am going to try to immerse myself in conversation, okay. right? And so I came downstairs because they had what they call, I don't know, is it happy hour? No, it's just a meet and greet. It was a meet and greet. So I came downstairs. I looked over the room. I saw all these groupings. Which one am I going to go to? I ended up going to the water table, get the water, and went back upstairs.
So you didn't practice?
Yeah. I was like, it was difficult. It was difficult uh-huh. for me. So, I don't want to be the center of attention. Right. I guess that's natural. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what living a life of humility is about.
Okay. Making it about others.
Making it about others. Because that's one of the tips in the book. Mm-hmm. When you get into a conversation, don't get in there talking about yourself and right. your achievements and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Look, listen, and understand what others are talking about and focus right. on them. Right. So I think one of the ways we can live out this Christian life is with a bit of humility.
A lot of humility. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it speaks about it, you know, in the same passage of scripture in Titus.
So that's why I think at the start of your day, it's a good place to, like you said, get the focus, take the focus off yourself and remember and surrender who I'm living this life, this day, each hour, each minute for the honor and glory of God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, whomever I meet, I will be gentle, show humility, be kind, be a good citizen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speak mm-hmm. no evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And avoid division.
Yes.
You know, focusing on peace mm-hmm. and unity and avoiding quarrels and mm-hmm. unnecessary controversies. In Titus chapter 3, verse 9, it says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrel about the law, for they are unprofitable and unworthy.
Yes, I yeah. agree. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Lisa, it's been a lovely conversation. I hope you listening audience enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed the conversation. But before we close out, I just want to say to you, if you are dealing with anything, doesn't matter what it is, I encourage you to send us an email at sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ, 242 at gmail.com. That's sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ, 242 at gmail.com. You don't have to tell us what your issue is. Just send us an email and say you want us to agree with you because God is able.
Yes.
And before we close out, I just want to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness, your love, mercy, and transformative power that has saved us. We confess and acknowledge that it was not because of our own works, but through your grace that you saved us. Help us to live humbly, submitting to authority, and showing gentleness to all. Renew us daily, Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to good works and reflect the transformation you have brought into our lives. Help us to always remember that it is by your grace that we are saved. We give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Until next time, trust in God.